everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Swayed at the Network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's lineup in just a moment, the Reverend James R. Harden with his latest. Judd Garrett, former NFL player, going for it. That's it. That's the title, going for it. And then in the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and his latest, Dr. What? Medical students pledge to honor all marginalized, ambiguous ways of healing. Boy, the world is going crazy. Hey, right now, I want to go to my first guest, Reverend James R. Harden, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Service, lives outside Rochester, New York, with his wife and 10 children. And let me tell you, on October 5th, the FBI raided the home of yet another peaceful pro-life leader, Chester Gallagher, for his involvement in a peaceful pro-life demonstration that took place last year outside Nashville, Tennessee. Now, the Department of Justice in a press release alleges on March 5th, 2021, the 11 individuals, aided and abetted by one another, used force and physical obstruction to injure, intimidate, and interfere with employees of the clinic. Contrary to the Department of Justice statements, the local police involved said the 8 adults and 4 children were only charged with trespassing while singing Christian hymns. No violence or intimidation were used by the pro-life group. And local police Chief Hambrick even described the situation as peaceful and orderly. Despite this, Gallagher and those who coordinated the event are now being accused of conspiracy and charged with FACE Act actions. Now, while the firebombing of Compass Cass Care's pro-life medical offices injured 2 firefighters and resulted in $500,000 in damage, local and federal law enforcement made no statements or arrest emboldening further acts of violence. There have been now over 70 recent attacks on pro-life pregnancy clinics using force and intimidation to interfere and obstruct women from receiving critical life-saving services. This is an obvious violation of the FACE Act, F-A-C-E, yet there have been no Department of Justice press releases and no FBI manhunts to stop the violence perpetrated by the pro-abortion extremists. It appears the rash of arrest of peaceful pro-life citizens is not being enforced equally. Rather, it appears it's being used to empower the Biden administration, Justice Department, to attack ideologically disfavored pro-life Christian. Reverend Jim Harden, Comcast Care CEO, said, quote, "While the threat to pro-life organization remains, it seems the FBI has moved from abiding their duty to now joining the ranks of Jane's revenge in attacking the pro-life people. The raid of the Gallagher home is the latest instance." Reverend Harden believes that the justice system is being mocked by the Biden administration. You know what I want to do? I want to go to the Reverend right now and get some questions from him. Welcome back, Reverend James. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
That was a lot of information right there that I'm trying to get out to the people. And basically, what we need to do is get an update. And do they think that you're just going to go away? I mean, that's the impression I'm getting from this latest report.
You know, there's an old maxim that says silence gives consent. Mm. And basically, I think they you're probably right. They think that we're just going to go away. We're going to lie down and roll over and go slink into some dark corner and just hope the world doesn't notice us. But the fact of the matter is, law enforcement is going to be held accountable. So you know, the Bible describes the fact that all sin must be paid for, and either it's paid for by Jesus at the cross and we find ourselves submitted to Him, or we're going to have to pay for it. Either way, justice is going to be done, and the darkness is going to have to bow to the light. Now, whether we get it now or whether we get it later, the job of the Justice Department, the job of government, is to make sure that law enforcement enforces the law equally. Now, if there's going to be a FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic and Church Entrance Act, that's what it stands for.
Okay.
If there's going to be a FACE Act, they're going to have to enforce it equally, which they're not doing. So you know, yesterday, was it yesterday, October, Senator Ted Cruz came out with 39 other senators and congressmen with an open letter to the FBI director, Christopher Wray, demanding to know why there's this uneven application of indicting people according to the FACE Act. So, you know, they're attacking pro-life people, peaceful pro-life people that have not violated the FACE Act. Meanwhile, there have been over 150 actual FACE Act violations committed against pro-life people, and they're not going after any of them, including our firebombing on June 7th. There's something really wrong with the justice system, with the DOJ, with Merrick Garland, with the Biden administration that's in charge of the DOJ, and the weaponization of the FBI. It's just surreal.
So the Ted Cruz, this is the team of the 30 lawyers that are represented by 7 law firms. Is this the same one?
This is different. Ted Cruz,
okay.
It's different. There's several things are going on right now. People look at me and they say, "Jim, is this true? Is this all these things that you're talking about? Is it real?" Well, politicians, as we all know, they tend to be very careful about what they get involved in. Same thing with attorneys. Attorneys just don't jump in and consider filing lawsuits unless they know that they're bona fide, because there's penalties involved in filing frivolous lawsuits. And so none of this is conspiratorial. We're talking about senators, congressmen. We got 30 attorneys and 7 different law firms. They're all looking at the violence that's being committed against pro-life people and the collusion that's happening between pro-abortion politicians, big tech to censor us, as well as domestic terrorist groups like Jane's Revenge attacking us. They're all using the same language. They're all using, they're demanding that we shut down. They're saying that we're fake clinics. They're saying that we're, harming women. I mean, all this is happening all at the same time, while the politicians refuse to come out. These pro-abortion politicians refuse to denounce the violence, and the mainstream media refuses to even cover it. So, there's something strange is going on ahead of the midterms, I think, and I think that the reason why, and I'm just speculating here, but I think the reason that they're pulling out all the stops. And they're literally attacking pro-life people and organizations, literally, and refusing to protect them when they're being attacked by other agencies like Jane's Revenge, is because they're afraid. I think the Democrats are the pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democratic Party, and that includes Joe Biden and VP Harris. I think they are scared to death of losing their power and of going to jail.
Once you get a little power, wow, unbelievable. You know, and all these false accusations, it's like they're overdoing it. It's that old saying, you just throw it out and see how many will stick to the wall, so to speak. I heard that many, many years ago. I wanted to ask you, because I was kind of curious about this. You know, at one time you guys were offering this $5,000 reward. I think this was about 3 or 4 interviews ago that I did this. Has anything come of that? You were Compass Care was trying to. Well, you gave out the descriptions of the people that burned your place, and there was a $5,000 reward. Was there any positive reaction from that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we're looking at some of the information that's come in just recently, we got some really good leads out of it that we're pursuing even today. Yes. The public is responding very positively, and they have given us some significant opportunities to pursue perpetrators. So this is a national effort to vilify and destroy pro-life activity, public pro-life activity, and that's why the FBI was created. The FBI was created to go across to investigate crime that goes across state lines, and we've got over 150 attacks on pro-life organizations and people and churches from all across the United States, and the FBI has not made any statements about it. There's no manhunt going on that we're aware of. There's no arrests that have been made. We're hopeful still that justice will be done through our system. We're not stopping. We're moving forward. We're actually taking ground. We're opening We rebuilt our facility that was firebombed. We're opening another facility in Albany. We're expanding to telecare to reach and serve women before they travel to abortion hub states like New York and before they go online to get dangerous chemical abortion drugs sent to them in the mail, which are four times more dangerous than surgical abortions. We are moving forward because we've got an opportunity, and the abortion industry is scared to death. The pro-abortion politicians are scared to death. They know for the first time since 1973 that pro-life people and organizations can compete head-on with the billion-dollar abortion complex, and they're afraid.
You know, and out here in California, you know, Governor Newsom trying to open it up. We'll even pay for your airfare to get here and all this stuff. Boy,
yeah.
I'm telling you, some people, and he has children, you know, and it's sort of like if you have children, you should have a different opinion. That's the way I feel about it, you know, especially when it comes to this.
100%, I agree with you. And you know, Gavin Newsom, as you know, a couple weeks ago started a multi-state billboard campaign advertising for women to in these conservative states to travel to California and get their abortions. And on these billboards, at the bottom of these billboards, he quotes Jesus in Mark saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We know that Satan knows Scripture better than anybody, right? And he loves to twist the truth.
The words
and the truth. What is love your neighbor as yourself? Loving your neighbor, Jesus told us what loving your neighbor as yourself is. He demonstrated it by dying on the cross for us. It's sacrificing yourself for your neighbor, right? That's what Jesus did for us. And what abortion represents is the opposite. It's sacrificing your neighbor for yourself. And that's exactly what pro-abortion Democrats in charge of the country right now want to do. They know that absolute power is the power of life and death. And if they can say, look, we can determine who qualifies as a person under the Constitution, under the law, and who doesn't. Then, if that is maintained as a precedent over, say, preborn boys and girls, then who's next? That's the level of power that they want to maintain. And we're saying no. Pro-life people are saying, look, all people are made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without partiality. It's not the government's job to decide who qualifies as a person. It's the government's job to protect all persons without qualification.
Wow. You know, I heard a report, I think it was last week, where they have some vans, abortion vans, going along the state borders, you know, just outside of the states that, you know, are not allowing it. Man, I mean, is it the money that's doing the talking, or is it just that they hate babies? I haven't quite figured it out. If it's the money or just they're cruel people, I don't know. There's something wrong with them, though. We got about a minute left here, Reverend. Any last thoughts here?
Well, I would just say that you know, we are in the most important cultural moment in 150 years. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's time to step in, not step away. The more we talk about what it means to be human under God, the more pro-life this country gets. So talk to your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers. Keep talking about it. Keep the conversation alive, and it'll work out for a more civilized order. We need to get back to understanding who God is and who we are in Him.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a sad thing that we even have to talk about this. You know, it's just shouldn't be happening, and especially not in the United States of America. The Reverend James R. Harden, and the website is?
CompassCareCommunity.com. That's CompassCareCommunity.com.
C-O-M-P-A-S-S, CareCommunity.com. CompassCareCommunity.com. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, Judd Garrett.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her. Me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here, and going to go to my next guest, Mr. Judd Garrett. Judd, by the way, is a former National Football League player, coach, and executive. He is also a frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics, and his first novel has been published. It is entitled No Wind, W-I-N-D. And I'm going to give you his blog because he has such interesting subjects. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, Judd, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am fair to partly cloudy today, and I want to tell the listeners that we're going to get into a little bit of sports here, okay? And it is amazing how there are a lot of things that happen on the football field that relate to what's going on in your everyday life. And some of you don't realize it, but it kind of turns out that way. And they say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Some people are trying to score. That was an old expression a long time ago. I was that way, you know, when I was in the Navy. But anyway, we're going to flash back just a moment for last Monday night. To kind of get into this, this was the Monday night football game, Kansas City Chiefs against the Raiders, and what a game it was. And, Judd, I tell you, I'm always complimenting you and your brain and the way it works. And this article, once again, very excellent, very well placed on paper, and now over the air. Let's get into it, all right? The Kansas City Chiefs and the Raiders, and the decisions they made, and how this is very interesting. Go ahead. Got about 4 minutes for a break. I'm going to let you run with it for a while, okay? Are you there? Well, now, this is kind of interesting. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there? Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, no problem. I was going to say I'm going to let you run with it there for about 3.5 minutes or so on the very beginning here to lead us into this.
Okay. Analytics has been taking over professional sports. It's definitely taken over baseball, and it's really seeped itself into professional football. And we saw that on full display this past weekend. You know, in the Chiefs game versus the Raiders on Monday night, the Chiefs scored a touchdown with about 8 minutes left to go up by seven. Now, the conventional wisdom is to kick the extra point and force the Raiders to score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion to tie it up. Andy Reid decided to follow the analytics, and they went for a two-point conversion to make it a nine-point game, which would be a two-score game, and they missed. So when they missed, they gave the Raiders an opportunity on the other end. And again, the Raiders went down. They scored a touchdown, and conventional wisdom is kick the extra point, tie it up, you know, take it down to the end, maybe go into overtime. They try to go for two, and they miss, and they end up losing the game by 1 point. In both of those instances, they followed the analytics, and they ended up not executing the play, and it ended up blowing up in their face. Now, the Chiefs ended up winning by 1 point, but they just completely went against conventional wisdom, went against what everybody's been doing for the last however many years, and went with the analytics decision, and neither of them worked out, and the Chiefs ended up winning because the Raiders' analytics decision offsetted their analytics decision. And it was a really interesting way of looking at it.
You know, and analytic decisions, you know, it seems like, the 70s, I'll just go in the 70s, that you weren't ever hearing anything about that, you know, that like all of a sudden it's popped up. Like, and when I first heard it, I said, what, they got a robot up there, you know, with them, or in their dugout with them, you know, and the robot is telling them what to do and here's the best thing to do. You remember last year the Chargers coach got in a lot of trouble because he could have won a game if he would have just kicked the extra point each time he got down there, but he got in the same situation the Raiders got into. I'll tell you what, we're coming up on the break here, and I don't want to interrupt you when I ask you this question, but I'm going to give you the question now, and then I'm going to let you dive into it after we get through this break, Judd. Whenever in your illustrious career with the Dallas Cowboys, all right, and all the other teams you were working for, was analytic decisions a very important thing, or was it something like, coach, just do what you want to do because you're the coach and that's why we hired you? Because it just seems like it's not working out like it should. And you can also get the same comparison with your automobile. That'll come up a little bit later in this conversation. Judd Garrett, remember this website. Objectivity is the objective. Got it? Objectivity is the objective.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The great Oscar-winning actor Sidney Poitier, who died earlier this year at age 94, is now celebrated in a remarkable new documentary called Sidney, now streaming on Apple TV+.
He came to this earth to move it.
My life has had more than a few wonderful, indescribable turns.
Brilliantly directed by Reginald Hudlin and co-produced by Oprah Winfrey, who also appears on screen, this film relies heavily on a series of extraordinarily intimate and moving straight-to-the-camera interviews that this remarkable actor completed shortly before his death. The commentary by other major titans of Hollywood add to some of the most fascinating 2 hours about Hollywood history you will ever see, and will make you feel better about the whole movie industry, which through Poitier actually played a role in making America a better country. It's rated PG-13 for some riveting recollections about some of the challenges of the civil rights movement. 4 stars for the superb and unforgettable Sidney.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Kaanapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of two neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Judd Garrett. Former NFL player, contributor to the website Real Clear Politics, and discussing one of his latest going for it. And I know I just gave you a whole list of things that we could talk about. So what do you think? Is this the right thing to do, and has this been around for a while? And I'm going to let you run with it a while there, Judd, and try not to interrupt you too much.
Yeah, when I first got into the league, you know, as a coach back in the 90s, you know, we didn't really use analytics, at least not to make, you know, game management decisions. We did it more for looking at opponents' tendencies. Like, you know, on 3rd and 7, they're 53% chance of blitzing. So that kind of helped you when you were game planning. But we never really used it for these game management decisions. It's only shown up in the last 5 to 7 years that teams are doing this. And to me, I think it's a good thing to look at numbers, but I think sometimes people go way overboard with it. They, you know, they almost become robotic, that if the numbers say, you know, to do one thing, that you always have to do it. You know, an example I brought up is, you know, if the choice to go for 2 gives you a 53% chance of winning and the choice to go for 1 gives you a 51% chance of winning, these coaches are automatically going for 2 because they see that 2% difference in their chance of winning. But those margins are so small that I don't think you necessarily go against conventional wisdom and go with that. If the numbers were different, it was 80% chance versus a 40% chance of winning, yeah, you go with the 80% chance of winning. But when the differences are so small, I think it's hard to go against conventional wisdom at that point, but a lot of head coaches are doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls bouncing off on that extra point, too, you notice. It seems this year, for some reason, I don't know if it's global warming. Yeah, that must be it, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems like there's more bounces off of the goalposts than I've seen, but then that could just be that I've tuned into the wrong football games. I don't know. Right now they're describing the Raiders as the best last place game in football right now out of all the teams.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my goodness, it's – You know, and you also did mention, you know, that I think it was last year. I'm trying to find that. I think it was last year that whenever the the Los Angeles Chargers were playing. Was that?
No, that was on Sunday versus the Browns, and again.
Oh, the Browns. Yes. Okay. Here it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It was 4th and 1 from their own 46. There was 1:14 left in the game. And they're up by 2, and, you know, again, conventional wisdom says punt the ball. You know, the Browns only have about 1 minute left. They don't have any timeouts. Force them to drive the ball 60 to 70 yards to try the game-winning field goal. And the Chargers went for it. They didn't get it. And basically they handed the ball to the Browns on the Chargers' 46-yard line. The Browns gained 10 yards. And they tried to kick the game-winning field goal. They ended up missing it, and the Chargers won. But to me, it was such a poor decision because, you know, they're laying it all on the line for this one play as opposed to saying, we're going to punt it to the Browns, and we're going to force the Browns to execute 5, 6, or 7 plays to get the ball down the field to attempt this game-winning field goal. So, again, you know, Brandon Staley, you know, as you brought up, you know, in the last segment, you know, he's been doing this a lot since he's the head coach of the Chargers, going for 2 a lot and going for it on 4th and 1, and it seems to always be blowing up in his face. And, I mean, they got away with it this past weekend, but, again, he's strictly going by the analytics and not going by, you know, what the conventional wisdom is and yeah. What's really best for the team.
Now, on the analytic, okay, excuse my, what's the word I'm looking for, stupidity on this one, but do they actually have a computer that's going to spew out the thing you should do, or is it in a book, or is it just that the coaches know?
Well, you can't have a computer up in the press box calculating all this. So what a lot of these teams do is they print out a lot of these eventualities into this big thick book, and they basically they go and look up each situation, you know, out of the book, and then they make the recommendation down to the head coach. So that's, you know, so the book's fairly thick because there's a lot of different, you know, choices that have to be made and a lot of different, you know, possibilities. But yeah, they don't have a computer, but the computer does all the calculating before the game.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, with all the phones you can carry around now, that you could get that information and nobody would really realize, you know. I mean, I could see you wouldn't have a computer. But, of course, they got all those little blue boxes they carry now that started about 4 or 5 years ago. I just give it to a cheerleader and say, just go up and say hi to the coach, and here's a piece of paper for you I got from upstairs, you know. But it's probably too late by then. I got to tell you, listener, that whenever you go to Judd Garrett's website, objectivityistheobjective.com, on this one, and a lot of times he puts, like, little pictures on the top or whatever, but this was 3 pictures together, and it was a Nobel Prize committee. And there's these 2 guys talking to another guy, okay, and in between the two and the other guy, anyway, they said, okay, we've narrowed it down to the theories that we don't understand, and what they're trying to do. They are members of the Nobel Prize Committee, and they say in science, the simple solution, this is the second cartoon, in science, the simple solution is usually the best, which of these theories is the simplest solution. And then you see this big stack of papers, and the guy says, well, that would be whatever's on the top of the file, because I guess he's saying that's the easy one to get to, right? Are we sure we can't vote for ourselves? But it is, you know, sometimes it's the simplest thing. You just decide that ain't going to work. But Boy, I'm telling you, it's sure showing up right now in a lot of sports.
And I put that in there because, you know, I talked about, you know, that theory, Occam's razor, which says all things being relatively equal, the simplest solution is usually the best solution. And, you know, I put that in there because I think these head coaches and these analytics people are making these decisions and making the game much more complicated than it needs to be.
Like you say, know, they're adding more risk. Adding more risk, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, going for two versus going for one, you know, going for one, it's a swing of one point. Going for two, it's a swing of 2 points. So if you really do the math, you know, it's 50% more volatile, 50% more risky going for two versus going for one. And when you add that much more risk into the equation, it usually is the lesser of the two decisions.
Now then, for those of you who are not really into sports, number one, you know, shame on you, because it is, in my opinion, it's a lot better than wrestling, okay? It's just for some reason. But Judd also says, well, all right, let's talk about, you know, the GPS system in your automobile. It's basically almost the same thing. You take the best route to try to accomplish what you're trying to get to, or where you're trying to go to. And in football, they're trying to go under that little thing, you know, where there's a crossbar and it's called a goal, or just get in the end zone, all right? But driving the car, let's get into that and how this relates.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think about these analytics decisions in football whenever I'm driving the car and on the GPS, because in the football decision says you got a 53% chance that this is going to happen, or 51% chance that the other thing is going to happen. And then when I'm driving in a car in my GPS, I'll put in my destination, and they'll say, you're expected to get to your destination in 30 minutes. And then a lot of times I'll start driving, and they'll say, there's an alternate route that will save you 5 minutes. And my experience is, whenever I've tried that alternate route, I end up on all these back roads. I don't know where I am. I'm driving behind some truck that's going 10 miles an hour, and I usually get to the place 15 minutes later than I would have if I just stayed on the major road. So sometimes, you know, the algorithm, you know, the analytics within the GPS, you know, in that snapshot of time, figured out a better road, a better route, but when you actually put it into practice, it ends up being a lot longer than the original route, where you're just doing, you know, the major highways and the major roads.
Yeah, and some people would say, wait a minute, no, you know, if there's an accident or something, they're gonna let you know about that. But like whenever Judd talked about, you know, like you get behind a truck, all right, let's say that it's Wednesday and that's the day they pick up the garbage, all right, or let's say there's a lady in the crosswalk with her two poodles. Oh, let's make it even harder. She has three poodles on leashes, and only one of them is cooperating, all right? I mean, there's all kinds of little things that could happen there. There's a little totter there, you know, going across in his tricycle with his grandma, you know? You just never, ever know. But usually, I guess, you could trust the GPS better than apparently what the football coaches are using, I think. I'm not sure, but...
It seems like a lot of these analytics decisions that the head coaches have been making last year and then started this season haven't really been panning out for them very well. And so, I mean, that's what led me to write the article, because, you know, everyone's and the issue is, you know, the coach makes the decision based on analytics. It ends up blowing up in his face and they lose the game. And then they interview the coach after the game, and he says, well, that was the analytics decision. So then suddenly they can't criticize them anymore, even though the decision to follow the analytics cost them the game. You know, he just says, well, it was the analytics decision. And then no one bats an eye, and everyone says, okay, it was the analytics, and he doesn't get criticized anymore. So it's almost a little bit, you know, it's not really a risky or courageous decision to go with the analytics. It's a little bit cowardice, because you can hide behind the analytics and avoid any type of blame or responsibility for the way for the decisions you made in your game.
Yeah. And you know, like in that Raiders game, they could have kicked a field goal and won, and it was fourth and one, and instead of kicking the ball, they went for it, and you got two Raiders that collided with each other. You know, it's like one of you, and you know their names are different. I don't know how that got all messed up. But you also mention in here about the Chargers playing the Browns, and the Chargers went on a fourth and one. Justin Herbert threw an interception, gave the Browns the ball. And then I'm going to move down here because this is kind of interesting, too. You also get into the 2020 World Series is another perfect example on this. Head coaches using robots, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I brought that up because I was actually at that World Series game, but it was the Dodgers versus the Rays, and Blake Snell was pitching for the Rays, and he was mowing down the Dodgers. The Dodgers had no, you know, answer for him. I think he only let up two hits in about five and a third innings.
Right.
And you know, but the analytics said Blake Snell has to come out after, you know, 75 pitches, even though he was completely dominating the Dodgers. So when he got to his pitch count, they took him out, they put in the reliever, the Dodgers just went up and they got a couple hits that inning, scored two runs, took the lead, won the game, won the World Series. And, you know, it was strictly, they followed the analytics. The analytics said you got to take the pitcher out now. And even though the pitcher was completely dominating the other team, they took the whole human element out of it. They acted like a robot, and then it cost them the game. And the same thing, Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, just said, well, I just followed the analytics, and then he avoided all type of criticism, when really it's his job as the manager to look at the analytics, but then say, you know what, our pitcher's doing really, really good. I'm going to leave him in for another inning, or whatever the decision should have been, and maybe they would have won that game and eventually won the World Series.
You kind of wonder, you know, like the owner of teams, football, baseball, whatever, basketball. Like they say, if you're going to rely on the analytics, they're doing the job for you. The computer's doing the job. So we're going to knock off $10,000 a year on your salary since you're not doing all the work. You know, I wonder if that ever comes up. You know, like and you said, you know, be a robot and you're good. total reliance on analytics is taking the humanity out of the game. Absolutely. And I really don't think too many people realize how much they're using this. I got to tell you, truthfully, I didn't really think about it that much until that Charger game that came up. And I kept saying, stupid, why do you keep going for two? If you would have taken those last three touchdowns and just kicked the extra point, you would have won. You know, not that I wanted them to win, but it was just sort of like, what in the world is going on? And that's when it seems to me like this analytics really started popping up in the sports news. You know, it was, wow. Didn't realize these coaches were relying on that.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, in baseball, it's really taken over. And, you know, a lot of these managers, they don't even make any of the game management decisions anymore like they did in the past. They're more just guys that, you know, that keep the clubhouse, everybody happy in the clubhouse and talk to the players. But they're not managing the game anymore. And that's becoming more and more like that in football, too.
All right, going to take that break. Probably coming up in horseshoes, cornhole, you don't know. It's everywhere. And Judd Garrett is going to be right back, and we'll wrap things up in just a moment.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill. Columbus is Southern California's answer to easy street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbus family Italian recipes? Columbus spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbus and experience delicious and easy for yourself? Columbus, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbus, mind you been.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, former NFL player, coach, executive. His novel is out, No Wind, available at Amazon.com. It's fictional, No Wind. And we're discussing one of his latest here, Going For It. How long have they been using analytical in sports and other things?
Yeah, I think, in baseball it's been a lot longer. Baseball has been at least 10 years. Football probably within the last 5 years, it's sort of taken over. So, yeah, it's showing up more and more each day.
Wow, it's amazing. And a lot of people I don't think even know about it, but they're talking. It seems like they're speaking about it more this year than they ever have. I don't know. Maybe that's just my imagination, or maybe because those games become so close and, like, what did they do wrong, you know? And then you wonder how much pressure is on the coach, Judd. Do you think that the owner of the team, they have this opinion like you're not using it enough or you're using it too much? You know, it's 50-50 maybe.
Well, I think what's happening is that the head coach gets blamed for every loss, that he's trying to shield himself from criticism by hiding behind the analytics. And I think there's a lot of owners that are pushing coaches in that direction. Just follow the numbers. And really, you know, I don't think that's always the best way to go. I mean, I think at times you should follow the numbers. Other times, you need to go with your gut instinct, and I think we're losing, you know, the humanity of the sports and the humanity of the head coaches because they're just strictly following the numbers these days.
Yeah. So uh, I guess whenever the Cowboys played the Rams, former Cowboy Judd Garrett, probably happy about that, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, if you want to talk about that, I mean, if you look at that game between the Cowboys and the Rams, you know, it didn't come down to, you know, game management decisions or anything like that. It came down to the fact that the Cowboys out-executed the Rams. You know, the Rams couldn't protect the passer. You know, the Cowboys' defense did a great job of shutting down whatever the Rams were trying to do. And to me, what jumped out at that game and what jumps out to me in most NFL games is which team executes the best, not which team uses the best analytics to make their decisions. So, you know, we don't want to, like I said before, we don't want to lose the humanity of the sports, either the coach making the decision or the importance of the players going out there and playing and making plays, which will determine the outcome of the game.
Yeah. Well, me, myself, and I, Judd, I'm got all these $100 bets going out now on this weekend that the Raiders do not lose, all right? So I just want to put that on paper right now. And anybody wants to bet me, just give me a call. they have a bye week, yeah. So
okay.
How much is...
They're better, like you said earlier, they're a better team than their record. I know they're 1-4, but they're a better team than that, and I think they'll come around as the season goes on.
They better hurry up and come around because it's getting late, you know. So there you go. Hey, Judd, thank you very much, sir. Enjoyed our visit each and every time. Don't forget his book is available at Amazon.com, and the book is entitled No Wind, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Thank you, sir, and look forward to our next visit.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Selwyn Duke, he's going to be coming up right around the corner with his latest. Oh, he's got some good ones and he's got some bad ones. Be right back. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Swade at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent, former Immigration Naturalization Service with his latest, and Frank Savato, host of the Underground USA podcast, going to be talking about PayPal or else PayPal. Yes. Right now, let's get to it. I want to welcome the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television and is a frequent guest on many radio shows. His website is selwynduke.com. And now, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, yes, Mr. Selwyn Duke. Hey, give me the Duke of Earl's home address, and I'll write him a nice little note there and say, thank you for letting Selwyn borrow your name. All right. Wonder if we ever going to have to pay for that. No, never. I think there's like a 15-second thing on that or whatever. How you doing, sir?
Not bad, Chuck. It's been a long time since I've heard that music, and you can tell Swade that his timing there when initiating the music was impeccable. Impeccable.
Well,
how are you, Chuck?
Here's a surprise for you. We really don't have the music. That's all Swade. He's doing the whole thing. He makes it sound like a piano in the background, and it sounds like the original, doesn't it? But that's him. Chuck, you're going to go to Hades for lying, you know?
I believe it. And he's got the coolest name in radio, Swade. I told him that, so he's got it all.
Swade. Yeah, Swade. Mm-hmm. We are going to persuade you to listen to this show. That would work, right?
Absolutely. It certainly
now
would.
Now it's time to be swayed.
He likes puns like I do.
Yes. I don't like puns because, you know, I'm more into bananas, so to speak. Yes. I think we need Dr. What. Dr. What, come in here and cure us, will you? I got to tell you something. I watched this whole thing, I don't know if it was Tucker or somebody else that was running it, but played almost the whole thing on TV last night, and these medical students. I'm going to tell you, listen, if you missed it, you might have a better weekend if you missed it, because I'm telling you, this talk about getting out of control, there's these medical students that have pledged to honor all marginalized, indigenous ways of healing. And you say, boy, how can they be forced to do this? I don't think they were forced to do this, were they, Selwyn? This almost sounds like if you took this script, you know, into a movie producer, they would give you about 5 minutes and show you the exit.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it, Chuck. I mean, we're living in an upside-down world, and wow, the meritocracy is dying. You know, some years ago, there was a story, this was under the Obama administration, about how they wanted to diversify the air traffic controller corps because it was too white, so they were applying affirmative action to that, and that's not anything important, right? The air traffic controllers, they just direct airplanes, and then more recently, it was a major airline, I forget which one, so I don't want to put the finger on the wrong one, but they announced that they wanted to train so many new pilots by 2030, and they wanted half of them to be women and, quote, people of color. So there you go, pilots. That's not an important role either. Who cares about merit? Just apply affirmative action. Now we have this pledge here. This is at the University of Minnesota. You can actually find the video. It's embedded in my article, and you just won't believe it. And as I write in my article, about 20 years ago, there's a doctor who's very close to me. She's now retired, and she said at the time, you know, the people coming into this field now are bottom of the barrel. That's what she said. That was 20 years ago. Well, fast forward 2 decades, and you know what? They want to be top of the totem pole. And what I mean is when they took this oath, they actually took a pledge, quote, to honor all indigenous ways of healing historically marginalized by Western medicine. They also vowed to fight, quote, white supremacy, colonialism, gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. Because, of course, those are the priorities you want your doctor to have, right? So all I can say is don't get sick. But here's the kicker. This pledge was reportedly formulated by some medical students themselves. So it was taken again by incoming medical students at the University of Minnesota. It was led by this character named Dr. Robert Englander. He's the Associate Dean for Undergraduate Education there. This was at the school's white coat ceremony, Chuck.
Yeah, okay. You know, when I saw it on the video, the first thing I thought is that, you know, I don't see anybody that looks like they're upset, you know, out of the whole group standing up and doing this pledge. And I kept thinking, boy, are they hypnotized or what? And I really didn't know that they had wrote this thing themselves until I read your article. For some reason, that wasn't mentioned in the report I was watching, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's according to the Daily Mail. They said it was reportedly written by some students. Now, let's be fair. That would just be a group of students, a small number. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of them didn't subscribe to this nonsense, but they just decided to go along to get along, as they say. But anyway, that's part of the problem. Yeah. If we're all going along to get along, that's how you lose civilization. But anyway, Christopher Rufo, he helped break this story. He's an investigative reporter. He does a lot of good work, and he tweeted out a video of the ceremony. And then he wrote the next day, which was Wednesday, "The most incredible thing about this clip is that the doctor almost certainly doesn't believe in what he's saying." So he's echoing what we were just talking about. Quote, "But he submits anyway because the institutional powers now require otherwise intelligent people to falsify their own beliefs and repeat the left-wing copypasta." So anyway, let's get to this pledge because you're just not going to believe it, okay? Rebel News writes, "The document first begins with a land acknowledgement requiring students to recognize that the school is located on Dakota land. Here's what the pledge actually says. Quote, "Today, many indigenous people from throughout the state, including Dakota, Ojibwe, called the Twin Cities home. we also recognize this acknowledgement is not enough. It's not enough, they said. Okay. So, of course, what happened then, Chuck, was that the students and faculty pledged to give all their property to the NDA. No, not really. That's fake news. They didn't do that. But what they did do was they mouthed more politically correct platitudes, because we know actually that's more important when you say that the land you're on actually belongs to someone else. So here's
but
what
not
they
our,
said.
Yeah, you're right. But we're talking about some other people's land. Your land, not our land. Yes. Typical.
Yeah, well, that's the way it always is with these leftists,
yeah,
isn't it?
Really.
They'll give you the shirt off someone else's back. They outsource their charity, as I've long put it. But anyway, let's continue with this pledge, because really, I know this sounds like The Onion or the Babylon Bee. I often have to say that nowadays, but it's not. We're not doing satire here. Quote, it continued, "We commit to uprooting the legacy and perpetuation of structural violence deeply embedded in the healthcare system." This is what Dr. Englander said, and the students recited it along with him. The pledge then continued, quote, "We recognize iniquities built by past and present traumas rooted in white supremacy, colonialism, the gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression." Now, by the way, let me take a pit stop here, Chuck. Can you tell me one civilization that does not recognize the sexual binary, that there are males and females, men and women, boys and girls? I'd like to know if there's one civilization that doesn't do that, because I know that Confucius thousands of years ago was talking about it. But anyway, let me continue here. Quote, "As we enter this profession with opportunities for growth, we commit to promoting a culture of anti-racism, listening and amplifying voices for positive change. We pledge to honor all indigenous ways of healing that have been historically marginalized by Western medicine. Knowing that health is intimately connected to our environment, we commit to healing our planet and communities."
Wow.
Read global warming there. I'm taking a pit stop again. Okay, yeah. I'll finish up now with the relevant
part. I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as I saw healing our planet, first thing that popped into my mind, global warming. Go ahead.
Of course, these are all code words. Okay, so we'll continue with this. Quote, "We vow to embrace our role as community members and strive to embody cultural humility. We promise to continue restoring trust in the medical system and fulfilling our responsibility as educators and advocates. We commit to collaborating with social, political, and additional systems to advance health equity." Okay, to understand here, we have to remind everyone what equity means. Equity, this is not your grandfather's equity. It's become a euphemism today for officially sanctioned discrimination. In other words, you say, well, the person here in front of me is from this certain group. This group in general isn't doing as well health-wise, so I'm going to discriminate in favor of this person and against another person. It's officially sanctioned discrimination. So anyway, that's what they were actually reciting. Should be very, very scary if you care about the future of medicine and the quality of it. But it's interesting because this fellow Englander, he actually has some decent credentials. He graduated from Yale Medical School. And as I wrote in my article, Chuck, that's really ironic because in my previous article, I was writing about Yale. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we're going to get into it, but
yeah,
the subject
that's
was
coming up. That's coming up next. The no woke jokes. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just give a little introduction. It's about how 14 judges have vowed not to hire any graduates from Yale. Why? Well, we'll wait for later to get to that. Not going to spoil it.
Hey, and let me interrupt you for 1 second. I just want to remind the listener, if you want to see this crazy carry on they were doing, you know, they weren't holding totem poles or anything like that. But anyway, go to SelwynDuke.com, and he's got it right there in the, where you can check out the whole video yourself. We don't make these things up, okay? Yeah. We're not working at CNN or MSNBC.
No, no, not at all. Right. It's not the counterfeit news network, CNN. But anyway, you know, it's funny here because the thing is, though, Chuck, maybe they have a point here. Maybe they're on to something. So as I put it in my article, you know, if they really state, if they really say, as Rufo put it, that shamanism and Western science are equally valid medical practices, then I have some ideas for these people. Here's from this Health and Fitness History website. The Iroquois, for example, quote, wore menacing masks to scare off evil spirits. which they associated with poor health. Rhythmic drums, rattles, and other music with ritualistic dances would be used in an attempt to exorcise demons. And some tribes would engage in a ritualistic smoking of tobacco in an effort to cleanse themselves. So there you go. There are some ideas. We have to respect this because we have to respect all indigenous medicine. Englander told us that. So we can just now rehabilitate, Chuck, tobacco use. And wow, this should not be surprising because it's already been asserted, right, that fat pride, as they put it, fat pride imperatives mean we can't say being overweight is unhealthful. If you
Let
do that,
ask
you're unwoke.
Real quick,
so, hey,
here, Selwyn. Are we? Are you and I too old to become maybe the Marlboro Man if this goes into effect here? You know, about bringing back tobacco.
Why not, Chuck? I think you'd look good in a cowboy hat. I saw that picture of you. I don't think you're too old.
Yes, audition that. Yes, and I'm going to be the straight one. Okay, so just so you know. Okay, so we got about 25 seconds before the break. Go ahead.
Okay. So not only that, if this Dr. Englander develops skin cancer, no, Doc, don't go to the dermatologist. Get a scary mask, not a Fauci-approved one. Get some drums and rattles and dance the melanoma away. That's all you have to do.
Wow, I'll tell you. We're going to continue with the rest of it. This is so far out that it's unbelievable that it is 100% true of what's going on in America today. Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, and he's got a really hard website to remember, okay? Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. SelwynDuke.com. We shall return.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, and discussing Dr. What? Medical students pledge to honor all marginalized indigenous ways of healing. Basically going on in the University of Minnesota. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah. So we were discussing this unbelievably ridiculous story, and you know, we're treating it in a comedic way, and which is understandable, because with these things, Chuck, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. But, of course, it's a very serious thing. So let's get into a little more serious.
You know why it is
here.
So serious, and I agree with you how, you know, I put so much pun into things that shouldn't be. But it is so crazy and stupid and unbelievable. And heaven help anyone listening that down the line you go to one of these doctors. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, when they start blowing smoke in your ear, you know, because that's going to cure your toenails or something. I mean, my goodness. Please continue, sir.
Yeah. Or I should have said before, we're going to continue to be serious, but now with a more serious tone. You know, this really reflects this ridiculous woke cultural relativism that has swept our society for the last many decades. And, of course, it correlates with moral relativism, which is the characteristic philosophical disease of our time. But the reality is this. Look, not all cultures are equal. Sorry if some people don't like the sound of that, but that's true. You can argue about why that is, but let's just talk about the American Indians. And by the way, like most Americans, I have a soft spot in my heart for them. But when the Europeans came here to the New World, Chuck, North American Indians had no written language. They hadn't invented the wheel. They were living in the Stone Age, and they had no science. So when you talk about their medicine, I'm not saying they had nothing to offer, but they had no science. And like I said in my article, this is not to impugn them because all our ancestors were living in that state at some point. Okay? I'm just giving you the facts here. Now, remember something. This is something else I point out in my article. If it's compassionate, though, that we respect all marginalized medical practices of the days of old, well, then why are we just focusing on the medical practices of so-called indigenous people? What about our ancestors? I mean, they had medical practices ages ago that now are marginalized. Hey, let's hear it for bloodletting and trepanning as well. Trepanning,
hey, and also remember, Selwyn, the medical doctor would come to your house, you know, being pulled by one horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Trepanning, by the way, is when they drilled a hole in your head. They drilled a hole in your head. I just want to make that clear. But the point is, as Ralph Waldo Emerson put it, every man I meet is my superior in some way in that I learn of him. We understand that. All cultures have something to offer, and if American Indians have some efficacious remedy, then certainly we should embrace it. I'm not saying otherwise, but this decision should be based on science. It should be based on science. Credibility should not be assigned based on affirmative action orchestrated by these wokesters, these Hippocratic oath-rejecting hypocrites, and that's what's going on here. But anyway, so as I closed with, because I think this is a good line, as for me, though, Chuck, next time a Fauci tells me I need a vaccine, I'm going to remind him that I have my menacing mask, my rhythmic drums, rattles, footlong tobacco pipe, and my dancing shoes. So you leave me alone, you white supremacist body colonizer, you.
And by the way, the mask is not the mask that he recommends, right?
That's right. Not that mask. This is a menacing mask.
Yeah.
Not just an annoying, irritating, ineffective mask.
You know, we're going to move on to another college, okay? Yale. Boy, the prestige Yale University. And got 2 minutes here. No woke jokes. 14 judges vow not to hire Yale law grads. Wow. Something going on there, right? Let's get into it just very little time, but go ahead and we'll pick it up after the break, too.
Right. Well, this illustrates, Chuck, how cancel culture is a double-edged sword. He who lives by that sword of cancel culture will die by it, too. And anyway, 400 Yale graduates, or Yale students, I should say, shut down a free speech event earlier this year. And this really gets at the problem. The school is infected with just pure and utter wokeness. And just recently, this judge, Elizabeth Branch, became the 14th federal judge to make a certain announcement. She's not going to hire law clerks from Yale because she has free speech concerns, and she's with the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. She's joining a boycott that was launched by fellow judge James Ho. He was the one who started this movement. He's of the New Orleans-based 5th Circuit Court of Appeals.
All right, and she said, quote, all right. I want you to have plenty of time to run with this one. And you know what? We're probably going to have time for another one. Oh, yeah. About Jeffrey Dahmer, the truth. Selwyn, you're always on top of it. Selwyn Duke, and it's SelwynDuke.com.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
The great Oscar-winning actor Sidney Poitier, who died earlier this year at age 94, is now celebrated in a remarkable new documentary called Sidney, now streaming on Apple TV+.
He came to this earth to move it.
My life has had more than a few wonderful, indescribable turns.
Brilliantly directed by Reginald Hudlin and co-produced by Oprah Winfrey, who also appears on screen, this film relies heavily on a series of extraordinarily intimate and moving straight-to-the-camera interviews that this remarkable actor completed shortly before his death. The commentary by other major titans of Hollywood add to some of the most fascinating 2 hours about Hollywood history you will ever see and will make you feel better about the whole movie industry, which through Poitier actually played a role in making America a better country. It's rated PG-13 for some riveting recollections about some of the challenges of the civil rights movement. 4 stars for the superb and unforgettable Sidney.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here, reminding you to get heartburn and acid indigestion out of your life. Use Balance7.com. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body, unlocks your immune system to protect you. Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then Balance 7 is for you. Eat and enjoy the foods you want. Get rid of fatigue and brain fog. Aid your digestion and neutralize the acids in your body. You are just a sip away with Balance 7. Balance 7 really works. I use it every day. We want everyone to receive the benefits of Balance 7, so we are giving all new customers a $15 discount. Call 800-793-903. Mention the code word Fred and get $15 off your new order plus free shipping. 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Code word Fred. Get heartburn relief and more with Balance7.com. And there's a money back guarantee. That's Balance, the number 7.com. Code word Fred.
You're experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury. If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef.
broiled to perfection at 1800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, talking about Yale Judge, Judge Ho. I will no longer hire law clerks from Yale Law School, and I hope that other judges will join me as well. Yes, not even beating around the bush. And Selwyn Duke has an excellent story on that. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, Chuck. So anyway, he's been joined, I should say, by 13 other judges thus far. And one of them, Branch, who we were talking about, she said, my friend, Judge Ho, recently raised legitimate concerns about the lack of free speech on law school campuses, Yale in particular. Like Judge Ho, I'm gravely concerned that the stifling of debate not only is antithetical to this country's founding principles, but also stunts intellectual growth. So she's joined him, and they're boycotting these law clerks from the Ivy League University, Yale. And anyway, Yale not only, this is what Judge Ho said, Yale not only tolerates the cancellation of views, it actively practices it. Starting today, I will no longer hire law clerks. That was his announcement. Anyway, you know, this is a very serious thing. It's a good move. There's no doubt about it, Chuck, because remember, we talk about cancel culture, but unfortunately, when conservatives complain about it, I have to say, in general, they don't frame the issue properly. You have to remember, what we call cancel culture is what? Well, it's just social pressure, social laws and the social pressure to enforce them. And it involves, of course, stigmas, but you have that in every society. In every society, in every time and place, you could be ostracized or scorned for transgressing against the values, the prevailing values of the community. The question is, what values or what sense of virtue are you upholding? You see, that's really the crucial thing. So you can't just say the problem is that we're canceling people. The problem is that we're canceling people or stigmatizing people for the wrong reasons. And that's important to realize because you have to understand that you're never going to have a social sphere where you don't have any scorn or ostracism. It's just a matter of who is going to create the social laws. And like I always say, if we exit the field, conservatives and libertarians, because we figure, well, we don't want to bother with that stuff, well, then the liberals, the left, is going to take over the field. And that's why I always say, if you don't control the culture will control you. But anyway, let's get back to this particular story. You know, this Judge Ho said also, students should be mindful. I think this is Judge Ho. Let me just make sure. No, my mistake. A prominent circuit court judge said this. He's unnamed, but this was quoted by the Washington Free Beacon, said, students should be mindful that they will face diminished opportunities if they go to Yale. I have no confidence that they're being taught anything at all. And then Ho, in his speech that he gave on this subject, he was even harsher. This is from this blog, Behind the Black, quoting him. He said, Yale presents itself as the best, most elite institution of legal education, yet it's the worst when it comes to legal cancellation. He also said that the school sets the tone for other law schools and for the legal profession at large. I certainly reserve the right to add other schools in the future, but my sincere hope is that I won't have to. My sincere hope is that if nothing else, my colleagues and I will at least send the message that other schools should not follow in Yale's footsteps. Now, how bad has it been at Yale, Chuck? Well, listen to this, these examples. This is from this blog, Beyond the Black, obviously a law-oriented blog. Quote, in 2015, students, this is at Yale, demanded the firing of two administrators because each had defended the idea of free speech. In 2016, students demanded that Yale stop teaching English literature. These events were only preliminaries to the complete takeover of the blacklist culture in 2021. In February 2021, students and professors at the college pushed a petition to revoke the degrees of all well-known Republicans. Okay, so it doesn't matter now, Chuck, if you paid for your degree and you worked for it, according to these people, it should be revoked because you disagree with them politically. That same spring, law school administrators threatened, I'm quoting again, two students with blackballing if they didn't write false complaints against a teacher those administrators wanted to get rid of. So that's akin to suborning perjury, akin to it, I say. Quote again, then in October 2021, the school administration attacked a student for something he had written, as well as his membership in the Federalist Society. This was followed in March 2022 by a mob of more than 100 Yale law students attempting to shut down a panel on civil liberties, with the school's administrator refusing to take any action. So that's how bad it is at Yale, and you can understand why these judges are taking the position that they are. So anyway, you know, it's a very, very good move. You know, unfortunately, Chuck, we have to say, I don't know how long this is going to last because the left is continually trying to transform the judiciary so it gets more and more left-wing all the time. And, of course, they can do that because the last election was stolen and we have got the Democrats in power, but that's a different thing. But, yes, it was stolen. I will say that unabashedly. And I also point out in my article that, you know, political correctness, uber wokeness on college campuses is nothing new. I mean, in 2006 already, we had people writing about crazy courses such as UC Berkeley's, quote, this was an actual course, Sex Change City, Theorizing History in Genderqueer San Francisco. And then we had Amherst College's, quote, Taking Marx Seriously, Should Marx Be Given Another Chance? So that's what it's boiled down to. Yeah.
You know, and
but,
and it is amazing. I mean, you wonder when they go in with this attitude in a college, Selwyn, does it start in the fifth grade? You know, I kind of ask that. I think about Alex Newman, you know, and co-author of Crimes of the Educators, also from The New American. Boy, I mean, they have indoctrinated these people like unbelievable. I think a lot of people hear this and they go, that can't be going on in the colleges. My son or daughter doesn't come home and tell me about these weird things. Of course not. You know, they got to hurry up and get out of the house as soon as possible.
Right. You know, let me say something else, Chuck. Remember, too, that this political correctness, whatever you want to call it, wokeness, it really is intellectual, moral, and spiritual degradation. It infects most every school to some degree. It's just a matter of the degree. And in accord with what you just said, you have to remember sometimes it's pretty subtle. And that's significant because I think it's a saying, it's what's assumed that's learned best. Okay, so propaganda is most effective when you're not hitting the kids over the head with it. And by the way, I'll add one more thing. I have this in my article. It's ironic, Chuck, because most American colleges and universities were actually founded as Christian institutions. Yale, by the way, is no exception. It was founded in 1701 for the expressed purpose of training clergy, congregational ministers. It was founded by clergy. But now William F. Buckley wrote his 1951 book, God and Man at Yale, and even back then in 51, he was pointing out that Yale had strayed terribly from its Christian roots, and now look at what it's become. Now it's not getting its influence from God, but from a very different supernatural source.
And you know, it's amazing, 1951, you know, I was just a young puppy. yeah. Anyway, William F. Buckley, I heard so many bad things about him. And, you know, and his looks had something to do with it. And I kept thinking, you know, that's just the way he looks. It's, you know, it's not that bad. But anyway, it was sort of like he had that demanding presence. Is that the right words for him?
And, yeah, you could put it that way.
But it's even way back then, you know, it's like rebellion in the 50s. Shouldn't have been that way. Unbelievable. You know, I'd like to touch on this other story. We've got about a little over 10 minutes to get into this. But this has to do with Jeffrey Dahmer. And this is one of the most interesting articles And I know we're not probably not going to have time to go through the entire thing. Maybe so, though, if I'll shut up. But I want to get into this because, you know, Netflix had a series in this, right? And they kind of, not that Netflix would ever do this, not one of my favorites, but apparently they kind of did a wrong report on it, you know. And, you know, Obama's and he and his cohorts, you know, are involved in a lot of things at Netflix, and I'm wondering if he had any input into this at all. But anyway, another excellent story from Selwyn Duke, Monstrous Lies, new Netflix Dahmer series is an April police hit job. All right, go ahead. You got about, 6 minutes. My goodness.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, it's interesting. This really is an anti-police hit job. And the funny thing is, just yesterday or the day before, I think it was, I was showing someone close to me part of a Jeffrey Dahmer interview from prison, one of those old interviews. And then I scrolled down and I looked at the comments. And it's amazing, Chuck, how many people in the comments section were citing things from this series, this Netflix series, as if they were absolute facts. And, of course, you always know that's going to happen because people confuse Hollywood with history, which you can't do. Entertainment is not history. And I know this is not technically Hollywood. I'm just using that term loosely. This is Netflix. But anyway, you know, it's a very terrible thing because this series, it's actually well done artistically, and I guess it seeks to introduce Jeffrey Dahmer to a new generation. The problem is a lot of people are taking it at face value. Now, just to remind people, Jeffrey Dahmer is a very notorious serial killer. He was killed in prison ultimately, but he was a homosexual serial killer who murdered, dismembered, and in certain cases cannibalized 17 men and teen boys between 1978 and 1991, and he was operating mostly in Milwaukee. Well, anyway, this series, it's called Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer Story. It premiered, or it opened, I think, September 21st, if I have the date correct, and it had the second biggest opening in Netflix history after Stranger Things 4. And, Chuck, as of October 4th, it was already the platform's ninth most watched English language series of all time. So it has a lot of influence. Okay, but let's get into really what they get wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, like I said, it's done well, artistically speaking, all right? But the bottom line is that I quote here this journalist who actually broke the Dahmer story decades ago, Anne E. Schwartz, and she said the series, quote, does not bear a great deal of resemblance to the facts of the case. And she said in particular, the depiction of city police officers as racist and homophobic was incorrect. Okay, and she spent a lot of time interviewing people on the scene. Okay, well, the main thing here is they depict this person, Glenda Cleveland, who I think died in 2011, but she was someone who factored into this story. And in the series, they portray Cleveland, who is a black woman, as having been a neighbor of Dahmer's, living right next door at the Oxford Apartments, right? Anyway, so you see in the first 5 minutes, this Cleveland character is knocking on Jeffrey Dahmer's door. But as Schwartz pointed out, none of that ever happened. Okay? Now, this is not just harmless artistic license either, Chuck. The misrepresentation has a purpose. It was integral to the anti-police narrative. And let me go on here, okay? Because the series portrays Cleveland as mounting a one-woman crusade to expose Dahmer for the monster she knew him to be, okay? She's seen, for instance, in the series calling the police frequently about how she continually smelled the stench of rotting flesh through a vent from Dahmer's apartment, about how she heard pleading coming from that apartment and screaming, and then the sounds of a drill late at night, maybe in the wee hours of the morning. Now, let me put that in context and perspective. Dahmer did sometimes drill holes in his victims' heads. He did do that. Okay, and then the whole story was in the series, but the police didn't listen. Okay, and you could hear in the series Cleveland, Chuck, making comments to the effect of, "You never listen to us." She was referring to black people. "You never hear us." And then when the cops finally arrested Dahmer after his 17th killing, she was shown in the series being enraged and half crying and basically saying, "I told you so. You didn't listen to me." But the thing is, none of that ever happened. Cleveland not only didn't live next door to Dahmer, she didn't even live in the same building. She lived in a completely different building. In fact, we understand that Dahmer was so well-behaved, Chuck, as a neighbor, and this is from dmtalkies.com, the website, that his neighbors considered him a gentleman. Okay, mm-hmm. But he did have a real-life next-door neighbor who was a black woman. Her name was Pamela Bass. But guess what? She was friends with Dahmer, so friendly, and she liked him so much, Chuck, that when he was first charged with the murders, she thought that he'd been framed. Right. Okay, and when she heard that he was killed in prison, reports are, she cried. Okay, now my point is here, you didn't have all these red flags. You didn't have all these neighbors calling the police about Dahmer but being ignored. That never happened. He was pretty good, at least for a long time, at covering his tracks. And I just want to say, to be fair, Glenda Cleveland did play a little role, because when one of the victims ran out into the street, this was a 14-year-old boy who I guess looked older than he was, she and her daughter, and I think it was her niece, tried helping him, and the police did drop the ball there, because ultimately Dahmer was able to convince them that that kid was his 19-year-old lover, and they returned the kid to Dahmer's apartment. So she played that role, and she deserves credit for that, because she did follow up and call the police about that to find out what the status of the case was. But most of everything else was misrepresented, again, for the purposes of demonizing the police. And it's not something we need in this day and age, when the police are already vilified in many quarters and find it harder and harder to do their jobs.
Yep. And we're coming up on that break, and maybe we'll touch on the Cleveland's daughter being arrested for having slapped a camera out of the hands of a young white fellow. Boy, I'm telling you, it is amazing. You never know what you're watching, how much of it is, you know, true or false, and they should have really big disclaimers on this one. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and his website, selwynduke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. We'll be right back.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESIS not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers.
And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder, very little time left. I am with Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com, and talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, Netflix, and how they got so many things wrong. But I don't think they really let everybody know, hey, this is fiction, did they?
Well, people should know that. Unfortunately, Chuck, too many people take Hollywood at face value and Netflix at face value. But another part of the show that was absolutely incorrect, completely fabricated, was it showed this was after Dahmer was arrested and the story had gotten a lot of publicity. It shows these two young white guys on the sidewalk outside the building in which he lived taking pictures very ghoulishly as if he was a celebrity. And then they show Cleveland coming by with her daughter, and her daughter was very, very upset, and she slapped the camera out of one of the guy's hands, and then later on she got arrested for that, and the message was very, very clear. A young black woman is shackled for trying to enforce decency, but Dahmer skated for years because of his white privilege. Well, again, though, that incident never, ever happened. And quoting that journalist Schwartz again, she, as soon as the story broke, was able to poke her head into Dahmer's apartment. And you know what she said? She said what was strange was that it didn't look strange. Nothing looked strange at all. And then you have journalist Nancy Glass. She interviewed Dahmer in prison in 1993, and she was struck by how normal he seemed. So the point is, you didn't have all these red flags. It was a complete misrepresentation. Yet, even if you look at websites, so-called professional journalists who've covered this, you see many of them taking so-called facts from the series at face value, even claiming that Cleveland was Dahmer's next-door nephew. Absolutely ridiculous that people don't know better. What can you say? Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here.
And you say that most of his victims, mainly non-white, the majority being black.
Yep.
And he was in a heavily black area. I mean, you go with what's available, I guess. I don't know if that's the right expression or not.
Yeah. Well, the last two out of his three victims were white, and his first two victims were white. So it was a mixed bag, but most were black.
Okay.
And like you said, he lived in a heavily black area, but there wasn't a racial component. He actually didn't do what he did out of hatred. He did what he did because he had some bizarre and very sick and twisted and strong compulsions.
Yeah, and let me remind you, listener, also, always excellent stories from Selwyn Duke. Sorry, just went off in my head there, you know. Anyway, there's another one that he had that I recommend highly. Students more politically divided than the general population. Up to 50% are LGBT. Yeah, it's like they
how did that grab you?
Yeah, they like, what would it be, green bits, tomatoes? I just don't know. LGBT. Boy, 50%. I know. It's and those poor parents who are trying to get the right thing going on in the schools, you know, what an uphill balance. And when you got the government against you, I've never seen so much government resistance in all of my life, as far as I know, as it's going on right now, Selwyn. Well, there's our award-winning theme song. Thank you very much, as usual, and look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Chuck, and God bless.
God bless you. Selwyn Duke, and it is selwynduke.com. Excellent articles. Hey, thank you, Suede. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United. That's the United States of America.